Well, good evening to the Voice of Maine. This is Bob Lehman, your host tonight on the Maine Outdoors Show. And your host usually is Paul Reynolds, and he'll be back probably mid to late April. Tonight, we are off and running, and we're being brought to you by the Blueberry Broadcasting Network of stations on stations 103.9 FM, Bangor, 101.3 FM, Augusta, and 95.1 FM in Rockland. And also, we are podcasts available, and we're also streaming live now worldwide across the globe in all ships at sea. And we've had some calls to the people who are picking us up on the streaming show. We're live, so we know we're getting out there. Tonight's show will feature fishing and open water with our friend and longtime fisherman, pal of my sons and once with me, Adam Moss. And he's an expert angler, ice fisherman, fly fisherman, worm fisherman, you name it. Live bait. Welcome to the show, Adam.
Pleasure to be here.
Okay, pleasure to have you. We'll be getting to Adam. Fella says, what else is there, right?
Not much.
Yeah. So first, let me introduce a man behind the glass, Norman Floyd, and we couldn't do a thing without Norman.
Good evening, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you all doing?
Doing well. Kind of surprising to get up this morning after all this rain and going, I know. Where did it all go?
You'll be gardening before long. We're in the market.
A couple of weeks I could put stuff in my greenhouse.
Yeah, you'll be starting up some tomatoes and peppers, won't you?
Real soon.
Yeah, real soon.
Real soon, yeah.
I guess you will. That's right. Yeah. Well, number one on the outdoor trivia brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal, and you can call and get a subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal by calling Alicia, 732-4880, 732-4880. That gives you a prescription for the Northwood Sporting Journal. It's around $30 or so, roughly, right now. Okay, number one on the outdoor trivia question, outdoor trivia is ice fishing. And we'll get to that shortly with Adam. But there's a lot of big togue being caught around the state this year. For some reason or other, they're getting some massive togue, especially up around Chamberlain, some of those lakes. Moosehead, I guess, is a big one. They give us a big trout at Moosehead, too. Did you ever fish Moosehead?
Oh, many times.
Well, there you are. You see that big trout on the Northwood Sporting Journal cover?
I did.
Boy, that's a beauty.
It was a beauty.
I should say. They've been getting some big trout and some big togue around the state this year. Another thing we want to mention is been a weak winter.
That sure has.
I should say so. I mean, we haven't had any snow to amount to nothing. Even Aroostook County, I guess most of it's rained off.
They've already shut all the snow sled trails down up there.
I guess so, yep. And a lot of ice fishing derbies have been canceled, so they say.
Yep.
I read that in the paper the other day. I think it was like four in last weekend. It got canceled because of unsafe ice.
The Can-Am sled dog races have been canceled.
Oh, yeah. That's a big event, too, usually, isn't it?
It's a huge event, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's been canceled. It's a weak winter in Maine, no question about it. I want to say, too, that I've been out of books now for a couple of weeks anyway, and I mailed my last ones down to the fly shop down in, and I think I got it on my hat here.
Eldridge Brothers?
Yeah, Eldridge Brothers, Tape Netic. He got my last Trolling Flies books, and I'm not going to have any more, but Northwood Sporting Journal itself is going to feature these books and a lot of others soon, and they'll have a list out, I'm sure, before too long, so you'll be able to get some. And let's see, what else? Number four, what have I got written down here anyway? I got a load of several people here. My goodness. You got to say hello to Ellie, Bruce, Margaret, and Dawn, and I guess Marge, too. I talked to Marge tonight. I told her I was going to mention her name on the radio, and she said, no, don't do that. But I just did, Marge, so I hope you're listening. I saw Bruce the other day out to Sam's. And he rocked up to me and he says, God, I haven't seen you in years. What are you doing now anyway? And I said, well, I'm pretty well retired. But I tied a few flies and do a little radio and a little bit of writing so far. And keep busy. And I used to call on Bruce and his brother-in-law for many years. He has a big hardware store in Dover Foxcroft. And they're very well known in that area and a very popular front of a variety hardware store up there, canning and all kinds of different things like that. And they've got it for sale, he told me. And he says, you know, something, we've cut the price way down and they're still having a hard time to sell. But, you know, these big box stores, they just cut into these places something terrible. So
hard to compete.
It is. It is. Every day is getting harder. Yep. Now, the fall game harvest, I think I had it written down here someplace. And it's surprising, pretty good harvest in 2023. Deer are 38,214. Turkeys, 1,000. Bear, 3,269. And 64% significantly less in the moose hunt. That is coming down, isn't it? It used to be around 95.
Yeah.
That's, and every year it goes down a little more, a little more, a little more. Yep. But what do you think of that kill?
Well,
they don't call it a kill anymore. They call it a harvest.
A friend of mine got a nice one.
Yeah, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Took him 20 years to get the tag, but he got
one. Big buck?
No, moose.
A moose. You're talking moose. Okay. Okay. Well, I guess they didn't get as many deer this year, and they didn't get quite as many moose, but I guess it's a pretty open year for them. Not much tracking. So
they walk right up to me in the tree stand. I got no problem putting an arrow into them.
That's so. Oh, you did you really?
Oh, yeah, every
What'd
year.
What did you get? Did you get a buck?
No, nice doe this year.
Nice doe? You had a permit?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Right. So you've got it all eaten up already?
Yeah, the granddaughter's working on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. And it's a busy night on news here, so we'll keep going here. And we got the new duck regulations here. That I'll just mention real quickly, if I got it here someplace, and here it is right here. Not too many different duck changes. The first notable proposed change is doing the coast in the winter. Over the last few years, the notable proposed change is for the first segment of the coastal waterfowl hunting zone to begin in Saturday, October 5. Traditionally, the season would start on October 1. And so this year it goes to October 5 for the start. That's one big change right there. And I was looking at another one here someplace. It says, ducks including black ducks, scaup, pintails, mergansers, scoters, elders, log-tailed ducks, and American coots. The open season has changed from the 25th to the 23rd of December and November. And then that's the north zone. The south zone will drop down to October 1 to October 30 and December 25. There's the split season on that one. And the coastal zone is October 5, October 12, November 7th, January 7th. And the daily limits is there's not much change in them. No more of four of any duck. Just about any duck. Well, more than four of any one species. And they're all the same. No more than six of any one species for the coastal zone. And 18 possession limit. No more than 12 or any one species in the north. 18 in the south. 18, no more than 12 of any one species in the coastal zone. You know, that seems to be a lot of ducks for anybody to carry around or shoot is 18.
Sounds like a lot of ducks.
You ever try cooking a duck, Adam?
I can cook anything, especially a duck. They're delicious.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You know the best way to cook a duck?
Well, it depends on what you're looking on for supper.
Well, it actually, what you do is you put it in the oven, and after you get it all cleaned up and ready to go, put it in the oven, and you baste it with wine.
Yep.
And when it gets all cooked in pretty good shape, you throw the duck away and drink the gravy. You like that?
I like that.
Okay. I think we pretty well covered the outdoor trivia here. Let's go to the question of the week. And an answer to this question will get you one of my hand-tied flies. And the question is, give three names... three names now for the tamarack tree. Three names for the tamarack tree. Tamarack, of course, is one of them. I'll be looking for the other two. And we'll be right after. We'll be right back with a stream of fly if you win. And welcome back to the Maine Outdoor Show. This is Bob Lehman, your host tonight. We have a wonderful guest tonight. We can talk a little bit about fishing, open water and ice fishing. We got a real expert here, and we'll have a lot of fun with him. And we have a question out there tonight. Tamarack tree is known at what other two names as well? And the correct answer will get you a hand-tied stream of fly. And we have somebody on the phone, Norman. Are you there, caller?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. What's your name, please?
This is Don Lochte for Fletcher's Landing.
Oh, really? And you have, oh, really? Do you have a, are you at Fletcher's Landing?
Yep.
Okay. Do you have an answer to the question?
Well, you got tamarack, hackmatack, and American larch.
Absolutely. Positively and consequently. You got it. You have, won yourself a, one of my hand-tied streamer flies, and thank you so much for calling in. You got a little information. You've been fishing?
No.
Oh, you haven't? You're waiting to fresh water?
I like freshwater fishing better. The older I get, the less I like standing on the ice.
Well, I guess that goes with all of us. All of us. I've stopped ice fishing a number of years ago, but I have a guy right here. He's got a shack. Very comfortable shack. He's got it warmed up and everything. Got a stove going, radio. Doesn't miss a trick of everything. Stands nice in the comfort. You know, probably cooks his own meals on the stove and everything. Heats up coffee.
I gave all my ice fishing stuff away.
I'm way ahead of you, Adam. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
I gave all my ice fishing stuff away.
You didn't?
Yep.
Oh, my. Yep. Yeah. Well, what do you fly fish?
Well, a little bit.
A little bit. Where do you go?
Well, any place around Ellsworth.
Ellsworth area?
Yep.
Yep. Well, there's a lot of places around the Ellsworth area. There's Simmons up there.
Yep.
And Union River.
Yep.
And
I live on Graham Lake, so I get to go out there and play, and I go over to Branch.
Sure. My son has a camp at Branch, yep. Yeah, Bobby. And Adam goes down to Branch a lot here, our guest tonight, and has pretty good luck. He was telling me earlier that they've caught some togue that have been pretty gaunt.
Yep.
Gaunt is a good word, I guess, gaunt.
Yeah. I fish for trout maybe about a month into the season. Then I switch over to bass. And
oh, yeah.
The rest of the summer bass fishing.
Where's a good bass? What's your best bass lake around this area, what do you think?
I'd like Branch.
Branch is a good bass lake. That's right. Excellent.
I got some wicked big ones over there.
Yeah, I bet you do. Yeah, there's some big ones in there, but they're down a ways.
Yeah.
You got to put a live frog, drop a live frog all the way down, a little weight on them, take them right down into those bass holes with those big rocks down in there, and you'll score.
You want to catch some real big ones, go to Phillips Lake, fish deep.
There's an expert telling you right there, Phillips.
Yep.
You'd think it would be Graham Lake or someplace like that, but you know, it's not. It's not really. Yep. So there's some big bass in Branch and Phillips Lake, and I suppose Green Lake, too, all those lakes are a little... bunch of lakes right in there. I've got a lot of bass in them, a lot of brown trout too as well in Branch, and a lot of salmon. And salmon fishing right is just around the corner as far as trolling goes. And thank you so much for calling, my boy. And we'll have that fly. You got any special fly that you'd like to have?
Anything. It doesn't make any difference.
Anything, all right. Well, we'll dig out a pretty one for you and send it along. And you take a minute to give Norman your address.
All right, I can do that.
Yeah, he's on the other end of the line here now. He's just about ready to do it. So thank you, sir, for calling in.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye-bye. So now we'll talk to our guest here tonight, Adam Moss. You live in Lucerne.
I do, yeah.
How long have you been living around this area?
I was born and raised in Lucerne.
Oh, you were, really?
Yeah.
You Phillips Lake area?
Yep. Grew up swimming and fishing at Phillips.
How'd you happen to go over to Branch when you're right there on Phillips?
Well, Branch has got better fish.
You got a camp somewhere?
No.
Have you ever had one?
Up in Portage, yep.
Up in Portage?
Yep.
You had a camp in Portage?
Yeah, good friend of mine's did, yeah. I used it more than they did.
Oh, I see. That's all right. Portage Lake?
Yep, Portage Lake.
Well, heavens, that's a
We caught some beautiful trout up there.
Oh, I bet you did. Oh, boy.
We shot some nice deer up there, too.
Yeah, I bet you did.
We go up there every year for a hunting trip.
I bet you do. Yeah. Oh, wonderful country up there. Portage Lake, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've been fishing this year already, ice fishing, but in ice is a little weak, they say.
Well, I had to take the shack off the other day because one fellow's just floating in the middle of the lake.
Oh, no. Nope, the middle of the lake?
Yeah, in the middle of the lake. Some lobstermen from down Ellsworth way. And,
yeah.
You know, they must have got it out. It wasn't there, and I got mine off just in time.
But, you don't see those too many, and then all of a sudden, you know, we get this, you know, batch of warm weather. All of a sudden, and the ice moves around, and you get these mounds and these cut areas, you know, and it'll open up on you.
Branch has got a huge open hole in the pressure ridge that went from side to side.
Oh, yeah.
It's wide open now.
It might even go earlier this year. Could go early if this warm weather keeps up.
My bet's 25th of March.
I know. One year, I had three different camps on Branch, and I kept, you know, ice out for years. And the earliest was 22nd of March.
Yep.
Well, now that's really early.
Well.
And it could happen this year.
I got a 30-inch salmon on the wall trolling the last day ice fishing season with your boy.
No kidding. 30, boy, that's a nice salmon.
That's a nice salmon.
Weighed 4 or 5 pounds.
Probably 8.
8 pounds? Good heavens. In Branch?
Branch.
No fooling.
No fooling.
Boy, that was a nice, got a fly or a bait?
Caught it on one of his flies.
Oh, dear, Bobby's flies?
Oh, yeah.
He likes that red and white special. Bob's red and white special. Very sparse hide, you know.
Oh, three, four pieces of fur on it.
That's hair, just a little bucktail on it. Not much, just enough for 4 or 5 strips of red and a little bit of white. That's about it.
Yep.
I improved it a little bit. I put Hurl over the top and painted a red eye. And it helps a little bit, but it's not much difference, really. But very sparse.
Sparse is better.
Yeah, sparse is better. People overdress these flies way too much and wonder why the fish don't hit them, you know.
No, I got taught some flies catch fish, some catch fishermen.
Mm-hmm. So on this tow bit down the Branch, you say that they're pretty drawn down there. They're they look like weak, unfattened.
Yeah, big heads, skinny bodies, and most of them have a rubber lure stuck inside.
Yeah, well, did you have some kind of a thought as to what perhaps has happened to that era of fish, you might say?
No, all the fishermen I've talked to this winter, and it's been a pack of them,
mm-hmm.
have said that the fish they've taken home and cleaned out don't have any bait in them.
Yeah,
And the ones I've taken home and cleaned out, 2 out of a dozen might have had a few bait in them.
Is that so?
And not many.
It wouldn't be very good eating,
smelts.
Would they? Wouldn't be so good eating if they got no fat, loss of fat is where the flavor is. A rule.
That's a rule.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take them home and fillet them out and throw them on the smoker.
Oh, you smoke them?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, it makes a big difference.
Oh, they're delicious.
Oh yeah, salmon's pretty good that way too, aren't they?
They are. Yeah.
If you try smoking a brook trout.
I never smoked a brook trout yet.
I don't think you have to.
They don't make it that long. Maybe on the open fire on a stick.
Yeah, well, that's, we did that once. I remember a bunch of us did that once. But anyway, that's another story. But, okay, so you prefer to fish for brook trout, I know.
Oh, yeah, I'd prefer to fish for brook trout. And the 26 days I had my shack on Branch this year, I did not catch one salmon at all.
That's unusual.
And that is, it's a first. I've been there
for
30 plus years on that lake.
Yeah. You fish with bait?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
ice fishing.
You don't jig or anything?
No. No. No, I'm too busy tying flies.
And you tie your flies in your shack? Why not?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's a good time to tie them. Absolutely. Yeah. So you do have a stove in there for warmth. And do you cook on it?
No, not this one.
Coffee and stuff.
This little guy got on the ice. Well, I just took off the ice. It's 3.5 by 7 feet.
Yeah,
just a little one fits.
Oh, I see.
Fits,
well, that's all you need, really.
Fits two guys comfortable, and
it's
got a table that comes up. You can tie flies on it.
Well, there you go.
You know, stereo.
Oh yeah, yes. What else? Of course.
Yeah, we got a little heater in there, and
that's all you need, really.
Single burner, so you can make coffee or tea.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you said there's only what, 3 ice shacks on Branch Lake this year?
I only saw 3.
Yeah.
And one of the fellas pulled his off 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And took it to green.
Really?
Yeah.
There's quite a few more at green, you think?
I haven't been to green this year.
No.
No.
Well, he kind of thought that it was less probably, better fishy perhaps.
Well, Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. You didn't get any salmon. No salmon at all.
Not a salmon. And it wasn't because it wasn't
time. How many hours you put in ice fishing, roughly?
Well, I get there before the sun comes up. I'll put my holes in with a headlight on.
Yes, sir.
And then I'll leave at 11.
Boy, you're a dyed-in-the-wool angler, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
You get up there in the morning and hang right there till dark at night.
Well, 11 in the morning.
11
that's
in the
when
morning.
I'm at home, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know you do all right trout fishing. That much I know.
Well, I catch a trout.
I'm sworn to secrecy on this particular spot. But he's the guy who called me. My son called me up and says, we got to go with Adam. And I says, oh, yeah? What, we got to go with him? He says, we got to catch trout. Some really nice trout, Dad. You won't believe it. So he showed me a picture or two that you guys got some. But you really hit them. But this was in July.
Oh, yeah.
July, mind you now. I think it was towards the end of July. But what happened was that it rained pretty heavily, and the water went up, and it was just below a pretty good spring hole, below a spring brook. And I won't say what stream or river it might be, but and down below that, of course, there's probably a lot of trout hiding out, you know, that feed at night mostly. And when the water comes up and the temperature of the water comes up or goes down, the fish start feeding and they you catch them.
Oh, they
those
they,
big ones.
They come right up.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Yep. But
the day that I went was a couple of days late after you guys went, and the water had dropped 6-8 inches or so, and it was going down. It was a little bit late.
Yep.
So you got to hit them when it's coming up.
Well, last year, I went there a couple times last year with my good friend Steven that showed me the place.
Yeah.
And you just step out in the water and your life's in your own hands crossing it.
Oh, I bet.
It was.
Rolly rolling.
It was moving.
It can
deep
be.
Too.
But yeah. And did you catch fish that day?
No, we caught fish.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, I've done that on Sunkay Stream.
Yep.
You know, right after, in the middle of July.
Oh, yeah.
Up to some caves, the middle of, up above there somewhere, and we caught some beautiful trout up there right after a heavy rainstorm has brought the water up.
Yeah.
And another place is up around Medford, some of those streams up that way, Birch Stream, Cold Stream. And but the trouble with a lot of these places now in these brooks and streams, the beaver have dammed them up so bad now.
Uh-huh.
They're not worth that much anymore. So the trappers aren't going after them so much anymore, so... Except for my buddy there, Bobby Martin, he doesn't care. He'll get $5 a hide. He'd still go after him because he wants something to do in the winter, and he loves it. You know?
I talked to him a few weeks ago, sending him into Second Pond, Lucerne, said,
hey, good for you.
There's beavers in there, Bob.
Go get them. That's right. There's always beavers in that place.
Yep.
Yeah, and the place going in, there's a brook comes down across the road there somewhere.
There is, yeah. About halfway in, yeah.
Yeah. And they always dam the road up right there, have for years.
Oh, yeah, the first 100 yards of that road, it's wet. But
yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
It's worth walking kids in there to ice fish because they'll catch a mess of pickerel.
Can you drive in there? In the winter?
You know, you can only drive in halfway, then it's, you know, access vehicle only.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah.
Authorized vehicles only.
Was that so in the second?
Yep.
Yeah?
You get about halfway in. It's only a 15-minute walk.
Scotty Reynolds and I, as Paul's son and I, went in there a couple of years ago, and we drove right in.
Oh, yeah.
All the way in.
Now you can get there.
Yeah, early too.
Yep.
Are we ready to take a break, Norman? Okay, then we're going to take it right now. First break of the evening. And this is the Maine Outdoors Show. Bob Lehman, your host. And the guest tonight is my good friend Adam Moss, who's talking about what else is they? Fishing.
Fishing.
We'll be right back in a moment. Hang with us. And we're back with more of Maine Outdoors on the Voice of Maine. And this is Bob Lehman, your host tonight, and we're talking with a real fisherman guest here. Phyllis says, what else is there? There's foldy fishing, that's it. We love it.
Fishing.
I can't
get enough
about
it.
It's my middle name, fishing.
Yep.
I remember when I was just a little bitty kid in Farmington, my father came back from fishing. I think it was the Sandy River. And he had a basket full of brook trout on moss, you know, on ferns. And I looked in there and I says, my God, they're beautiful. You know, they were, God, you know, a trout is really a pretty thing, isn't it?
It is.
And it really knocked me out right there. I said, oh, my God, I got to catch. Hey, that's, and I spent my whole life chasing them ever since.
Yeah.
And I think you have too, probably.
First time I went fishing with my old man, Yep. I had the choice to not go on a school field trip or go with dad fishing.
Well,
I was like six years old.
That was an easy choice.
It was a rough choice.
Yeah. And what did you fish with in those days, worms?
Dad was a worm dunker. And yeah, we went
most
up to Sebois.
Those days, yeah.
We went up to Sebois River, where his...
Sebois River.
Yeah, where his buddy had a camp, an old trapper's camp, and a flat-bottom John boat with a airplane propeller on it and a snow sled motor. Yeah, that was loud, but boy, didn't we catch some fish.
Oh, I'll bet you.
I've been hooked ever since.
Oh, there's some good fishing around in those days. We used to go out to, in my 20s, we used to go out to Young's Pond in Otis.
Oh, yeah. I fished there many times.
Which is fly fishing only.
Yep.
And there was a flat log camp there. Pretty much flat. It's pretty old. And there was an old rowboat on the shore there that leaked like a sieve, you know. But we'd take that thing out with a couple of coffee cans to bail it, bail, you know, to keep us afloat. And one would stand up in the bow of that thing, and the other one would bail and poke it. We didn't have any paddles, and we poked that thing around. And we caught a lot of trout for fly fishing there back in those days. And when I was in my 20s, that's a long time ago. But we'd venture into that road, and it was always a mud bath, but we got in there with a car.
Oh, yeah.
Well, probably one of my company cars. Yeah. So you worked for many years out to Gagan's as a chef.
No.
You've been a chef most of your life?
I've been a chef since I was 20 years old.
Is that right?
Yep. Yeah.
You're into plants, too, aren't you? I mean...
I'm an avid gardener. Yeah.
I mean, you're into herbs.
Oh, yes.
And you can identify herbs and things.
Lots of
them. I noticed one day we was out to Union, was where we were fishing there one day, and we were walking up the shore, and you picked up a plant, and you said, smell that, and I did, and you told me what it was and everything, and I said, are you into this stuff? And he says, oh, yeah, I have been. That's you.
Oh, it's some wild mint growing on the shore.
Yeah.
I took it home, planted it in a planter at home.
There you are. Sure. Well, there's a lot of that stuff you know what to look for.
Oh, there is.
I mean, Norman's not too much into that, is he? You went into that, Norman?
Not the herbs. No.
Not really.
I garden, but I mean, I do some of the basic herbs, but I not really do a whole lot.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about brook trout.
Oh, love them.
Okay.
They're delicious. They're beautiful and delicious.
Yep. Now, what's your favorite fly to fish with brook trout, for brook trout?
Well, for a dry fly, I'd have to say a royal wolf.
Royal wolf?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Top water for a muddler. You know,
a muddler.
Anything will work.
Yeah.
And, well, then there's the red butt.
And how early in the year do you go after trout?
As soon as the ice leaves.
As soon as the ice leaves?
As soon as the ice leaves.
Brook trout?
Yep.
Yeah, well, where would you head for? Ponds?
Well, there's some ponds I can fish real early and do good.
You've got them all lined up and ready to go. You know where to go.
And then there's some that you don't catch them till it's 100-degree day.
Is that so?
Yep. And it's... You know, and a few of these are heritage ponds, right local.
Oh, yeah.
And Greg Burr will know where I'm talking about.
Oh, Greg Burr, he knows. Greg Burr knows. Well, I've had Greg on my show several times, and he lists those ponds.
Oh, I know.
You know, you got to get your paper and pencil out there and get them down, because they've been putting big brook trout, I mean, you know, 2-3 pound brook trout in some of these ponds.
Yes, they have.
Yes, yeah. For instance, what's that pond down in Craig? Down in Bucksport Way, they put a lot of big brook trout in there.
Yeah, I caught one of those big salmon down there one year they put in.
I wouldn't doubt it. Landlock?
Yeah.
Or landlock?
Yeah, it was a broodstock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, from Grand Lake Stream, I'll bet.
I thought it was a brown trout.
Buggers, you know, they're supposed to put them back in the river where they come from. They take them down, put them down a Craig Pond. I think there's somebody politics down there or something. I say to Greg, how about putting some of them back in the stream, those big brooders like they used to? Oh, yeah, well, we'll have to do that. Yeah, sure, right, we'll do that. something going on there, I don't know what it is.
He does a good job.
I shouldn't say anything. He does a great job. Yeah. He really does. Yeah, you know, years ago, you said you fished Grand Lake Stream a few times.
Yeah, a couple times, yeah. Yeah,
but you have caught any. Remember those old broods they put in there probably 10, 12 years ago? They were 8, 10, 12 pounders.
I never got lucky enough to nail one of them.
Well, a couple of years in a row, they dumped them into the river.
Oh.
And this odd retired lawyer called me up. He was staying down there. He said, get down here and get down here now. So, of course, I was in the hour, 2 hours, I was right there.
Oh, yeah.
And they still weren't quite biting as yet. But within the hour, they started biting. And we caught, I don't know, 3 or 4 apiece. And we put them back, of course. But they ran anywhere from 6 to 8, 9 pounds landlocks.
Lots of salmon.
They had some bigger ones than that in there too. But it was, you know, but they dumped them in there, and that's what happened to the breeders that they get when they strip, you know.
Yeah.
And they used to dump them back in there, but they don't anymore. They say they put them in places like Craig Pond or someplace like that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've caught some. We've caught a few of his brood stock.
Have you?
Yeah. And, a couple of my secret hot spots.
Oh, your secret spots, yeah.
Oh, wow. Five pound trout, you know.
No fooling.
Ooh. Yeah, I'll show you pictures.
Yeah, show me a picture. Yeah, I'll see some of those pictures. Yeah, you tie flies too, you say?
I sure do. Well, your boy taught me how to tie flies.
Oh, Bobby did?
He did.
Good for Bobby.
Yep. I still can't tie a muddler. That's on the list. I got to get down to his place.
Learn how to do that? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's really simple once you get the hang of it. But I got to start tying flies again. I just haven't had the. I don't know. It's the time of year. It's not something to do with it, you know.
Yeah.
Spring. You know, early spring. March, maybe middle of March, I might start in. I've got some orders already. I just haven't got the will to start doing it. And then once I get doing it, you know, I got a fellow in Ohio who wants to send me a big order. He said, and I said, oh, no. You know, oh, no. I wanna, and I know he's listening, but I said, oh, no.
Well, like, I got lucky enough to. I got 6 dozen tandem streamers tied before the ice. Before I had to pull my shack off the ice.
No fooling, you did well, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had 12 dozen. I need to tie.
Oh no! So will you sell them?
No.
Well, this is for you.
This is for me.
Yeah.
Me and the other boys I fish with.
You ever fish nymphs?
Nymphs. Oh yes.
Have you?
Yeah.
You like fishing nymphs?
It's like fishing a worm.
Well, yeah, it's like fishing a worm.
Like
you throw it upstream and it goes down. You retrieve it and throw it up again, just like a worm. I've always thought that with nymphs, but you know, there's a trick to it, you know.
Oh yeah,
because you lose a lot of baits on the bottom.
Well,
you know.
Well, we've got this one we fish, and
yeah,
you can't keep the fish off it.
Really?
I can't tell you about it.
You can show me someday.
I'll show you.
Yeah.
But it does what it wants, and it's just like fishing a worm, and man,
it'll
outfish everybody on the river.
Wow, that's something. Yeah. That's good. I know down at Grand Lake Stream, those guys will get down to the hatchery pool, and they'll line down through there, you know, and they throw out, and it draws down and out and down, and I said, you know, I says, come on, guys, let me get in here and show you how to fly fish, you know.
Barber fisherman.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I like to put, you know, streamer right near the top and have a whale at, you know.
Oh yeah,
that's a lot to
There's
it, you know.
Better
you
than
can't
that.
Beat that, you know. Then you bring him in, let him go and get another one, you know. That's and then you go find another place to fish, you know, so it's not too crowded. Years ago, maybe 20 25 30 years ago, we started going down there, maybe more than that. Hardly anybody down there. You could rest a pool.
Yeah,
imagine that. Rest a pool at Grand Lake Stream, go home for the afternoon, back to camp. And you go back in the evening, nobody been to where you spot. They'd been to the hatchery pool, maybe one or two at the dam pool, and that's, you know, it. All these river pools down the woods and down to little falls and big falls, not a soul been around. And the trails, you know, the paths and everything were all fine. They weren't worn down or anything. You know, in fact, we had to make trails. We had to cut trails back in those early days.
Yeah.
Yep. But now, actually, you could drive down to the hatchery pool. Drive right down to the hatchery pool.
Really?
And park and get out and fish. You probably don't remember that, but I do.
I've never seen that.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, I did some walking down there a couple times.
Yeah. Well, back in those days, you could drive right down. And Little Falls, you could drive all the way down, right down to the river edge right there and leave your car right there and step into the water and fish. Now, yeah, they built that big parking lot up there, and that's full of cars all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, up river and down there fishing all over. And it's not like it used to be. It's pretty crowded. So,
yeah.
So I'll be looking forward to going with you this spring.
Oh.
Getting some brook trout.
I'm going to take you to
a
couple spots.
Here, Norman? Think we ought to take a commercial?
We are just about there. Yeah, you can take it anytime you want.
Well, let's talk a little bit, since I don't have the paper in front of me that tells all about it, because I've done enough commercials on it, though I should remember some of it. I think it was... I don't know, it was Mercer or somebody borrowed that, and I haven't got it back yet, so I'm going to wing it.
Go for it.
Okay.
Back you up.
Okay. So, Gentleman Appliance in Brewer. You can't miss them. They're right on Center Street. You come across the old Bangor Brewer Bridge. You take a right, a quick left. You're right on Center Street in Brewer. Remember, come right up to the corner at South Main and Center. And there they are. And they got half a block there of warehouse and appliances. They have Chevelle gas appliances and a lot of other brand names. And they like to sell gas appliances. And one of their main appliances, of course, is, you know what that is, Norman? You don't know what that is?
I have a pretty good idea, but I'm going to let you divulge it. How's that?
I was going to say a gas stove, gas refrigerator, gas, and gas everything. Gas everything. Okay. I was going to wait for you to say it.
Oh, no, I have an answer to that one, I believe. Are you going to say
compost toilet.
And you got to ride the wave, baby.
Ride the wave. Okay, that's what I was waiting for. Yeah. You know, have you ever used one?
Never have. Never seen one. Pictures.
I used one once. Some camp we were at, and they had one. Do you ever use a compost toilet, Adam?
Well, yes, but I built my own.
Oh, you built your own? Really?
It's up there in the North Woods, and it's camouflage, to be honest with you.
Oh? Well, I think you were talking more about an outhouse.
Well, yeah, kind
of. Sort of, yeah. Well, these things they put inside the camp.
Oh, yeah.
Inside the camp. And you step up and sit down, you know. And it's amazing. You don't need a plug-in. And you shovel a little bit of compost in there, this little scoop, every couple of weeks, and it disappears in there. And I guess you shovel it out or it burns up or something. I don't know how it works. But you can go into appliance, and they'll give you a complete lookout of how things go with that thing and how to operate it. And it's not a big deal. It isn't any much bigger than a hopper in your house. And they're a little as well of $1,200, but they're worth it. They're worth it when you think about it. But they also have parts. Parts are big. No parts at the box stores, you'll find, but they got parts. And they got a lot of information how to repair different things, too. And they do repairs right there in the shop. They have a lot of used appliances as well, gas and electric. So stop in and see General Appliance in Brewer. You won't be disappointed. There are awful nice people in there. And they'll show you around. And my old buddy there used to save old radios. You imagine?
No doubt.
Yeah. Do you save old radios?
No.
No? You ever thought about it? No.
Never thought about it.
But I remember we had one years ago in the living room, and it was a big wooden thing. It said Zenith.
Yep.
Yeah, and a big dial on there, you know, a big round dial on it and all this. He saves those.
That's awesome.
Yeah. he got a bunch of them, I guess. Anyway, that's the General Appliance in Brewer. Be sure to stop in. And now back to fishing with Norman Morse. Maybe we get Norman in here and Morse. You've been fishing, ice fishing this year, Norman?
No.
Plan to?
Nope. Not this year.
You go open water fishing? That's just around the corner.
I could any day, probably.
We're in a match here.
First day ice fishing season this year. I was standing at the mouth of a brook casting out into a lake.
Yeah.
And it was wide open.
I wouldn't doubt that in the least. Yep. In fact, the water would be too low by the time, the fishing gets good. The water would be pretty low.
Yeah.
Along about the end of April, 1st of May, something like that.
Right now, Branch is low. It's real low.
I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah.
But you know what was running pretty heavy was the Gnuskeg Stream.
Oh, I bet. All the rain we've had.
And dirty, too.
Oh. Yeah. I saw the Union River muddy, down Ellsworth muddy. The other day. It was muddy.
Yeah, well, it's got a lot of muddy. Because Ellsworth comes down the Union River there from Grand Lake. And we used to fish there years ago below the dam and catch white perch by the bucketful.
Oh, delicious fish.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of nice ones the first of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. A mess of brook trout. Yeah. Well, the first day we got on the ice, I was with two good friends, my buddy Jimmy and Justin.
Mm-hmm.
And from 6 in the morning till 9 a.m., we put 22 trout on the ice.
No fooling. Wow.
Yep.
Good size ones?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going here about 3 foot long wide here. No, no. No, but 12, 14, 15 inches.
Yeah. Some were 16, 17.
Oh, my. Yep. That's two and a half pounds.
Well, you know, we kept our limit.
Yeah.
Let the rest go. Most of them we caught jigging. And
jigging. Jigging, yeah. Worms?
No. This little lure made by Berkeley.
Is that so?
It's called the Atomic Teaser.
And it was a pond.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Nice little ice. Pond. Through the ice.
Yeah. Yep.
And for the first few weeks, it's great, and then it stops.
Yeah. Well, for something about ice fishing, it's good early, and then it gets to tail off for some reason or other. Yep. You ever find it that way?
Well, it turns back on the last couple of weeks of March if there's ice.
Oh, yeah? Well, that's a good time to stay off it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a bad year for a bad winter for ice fishing, I guess. Not just the hot. But they've got some beautiful trout up to Moosehead this year, I guess. Quite a few, 4-5 pounders, 6 pounders.
Yeah.
Something's working up there, but we have to talk to that biologist up there sometime soon, because they've done a wonderful job up there. Wonderful job.
Seemed to be.
A lot of their outfits, like his Roach River, is closed to... you keep anything. You can't keep a fish out of it. You can fish it all you want, but
gets in release
in season. But you can't keep a fish, and that makes a big difference in the place. I think it would make a big difference at Grand Lake Stream.
Oh.
And I think that it would people would stop taking a fish out of there. And right now, I think there's too many fish coming out of there.
I've caught some beautiful.
Like it used to be.
I've
nothing.
Caught some beautiful fish at the Roach. Some
oh,
them,
I wouldn't doubt it.
Some
that's
of them you
nice
just
fish.
Almost make you cry putting them back.
Yeah, I know.
That's what the law says.
You know,
so you
one year I was up there by the, when you first get there, you know, the bridge.
Yep.
And the dam. And right under the bridge, up next to the bank, was a togue. Probably 15, 18 pounds.
Yeah.
Easily. And how it ever got up that far. It's amazing. You know, this is 36, 38 inch fish here. And it's right there finning, you know. And because we threw everything we had over them and under them and everywhere, but we never would make a move, you know.
There was a fella up there scuba diving a few years ago.
Yeah.
And he told us all about the toga you're seeing on the bottom right there at the dam.
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah. They get up that far, and I guess they can't go any further.
That's as far as they're going.
You know, they were running up there for some reason, brother.
Yeah.
Big toga. I mean, he's a big fish. Jeez. Man. Yeah. You like the Roach, huh?
I love it.
You fish down below and walk a little to fish, or do you fish like some of the pools, like Warden's Pool? And
well, by far, Warden's is my favorite, but
it is.
You know,
a nice pool.
I'll go here and there.
And the dump pool.
Yeah, I've never fished the dump pool.
The old
actually,
dump pool. Yeah, that's an old pool named years ago by. I can't think of the Warden's name. There's the Warden's Pool was. He had a little camp there,
okay.
And they built them real low. You know, in those days.
Yeah.
Log camp. I think it's gone now. I don't think. In fact, it was pretty well gone by the time I was fishing up there years ago, but I don't know. I was probably in my mid-ages. We went up there quite a lot and fish, and it was no, you couldn't catch a fish. You couldn't keep a fish, and then, but you could. We did pretty well. You could see them in there. I mean, by the schools, you know, salmon and trout.
Yeah.
But, you know, you couldn't take one. And that's why they were in there in schools, because the same thing would happen down the Grand Lake Stream, but they thinned it out.
Oh, yeah.
They thinned it out. No question about it.
No,
yeah.
No question about it. And the fishing up there has been slower than it was when I first started going up there years ago.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely slowed way down.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you still get some nice fish.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not like it was.
Well, I don't know if the fish aren't as fat as they used to be.
Yeah, it's the weather, you know.
And I've caught a lot of native fish over the years, but not anymore. Somebody said maybe if you get 1% native, it's pretty good. But they're all stocked. Everything there is stocked now. Just about 99.9%.
Yep.
It's all stocked. Salmon. And trout. They put a lot of brookies in there. Nice brookie. 10, 12-inch brookies in there.
Yep. It's
a lot of fun to catch them. What the heck?
Oh, yeah. Now, when we go up to Moosehead, we go up in the wintertime.
Oh?
And the only reason I'm going there is to catch a cusk.
A cusk?
I'll come back with a whole
through
pack.
Through the ice?
Through the ice at night.
Yeah.
We'll catch 100 of them.
Is that so?
And I'll bring them all home and we'll fillet them. And, you know.
How big, how long? 2-3 feet?
So, some of them are.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the bodies go in the garden and fillets go in the freezer for fish fries.
There you are.
Yeah.
Fish fries.
We'll go up there and stay at Misty Cove. And
yes.
Yeah. You know, great
How deep
people.
Is it there?
Oh, you got to go out quite a ways.
Mm-hmm.
There you go, past the snow sled trail before you're mm-hmm. catching fish. Mm-hmm.
Well, how deep do you, I'll put another way, how deep do you fish for cusk?
Oh, 30, 40 feet.
Well, that's not too bad.
Not too
that's
bad.
Not too deep.
No, but okay. when you get out there, you don't come back because you'll catch all the fish on your traps, and by the time you turn around, all your flags are back up.
Is that so?
And it's just over and over and over.
Really?
It just doesn't stop.
No fooling. Wow, you've got the spot there, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Trouble is, what do you know, a lot of people don't care about them.
Yeah.
You know, and some people do, like yourself, and of course.
Oh, they're delicious.
How do you cook them?
We'll fry them up or make chowders out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
White meat?
Oh, nice white meat.
Nice white meat.
Yeah, nice boneless white meat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the trick is to have a big piece of hardwood with a nail at an angle, and you drive the head on it and
Cut
around it and two pair of pliers and pull the skin off.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well, that's easy enough.
With a butter knife.
That's easy enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. You probably have fish in your freezer right now.
I got a couple.
Couple, yeah.
Toe. Just waiting for a chowder.
Hell yeah.
I just took two out today that we smoked this fall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was lunch.
What's your favorite? Did I ask you what your favorite streamer fly was? That's probably Bob's Red and White.
No.
Nope. No,
I'm going to say it's Rochelle.
Rochelle is a cocker.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Rochelle is dressed more than a red and white.
It is.
His tide's pretty sparse.
Real sparse.
But there's still more fur on it, bucktail.
Yep.
And I know I've tied quite a few of them myself, but that's a good fly. But they both are.
Oh, they are.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. there's a fellow in New Hampshire, Scott Byron, has told me that he has got a fly that he is selling. And I know you're listening, Scott, so you were going to send me one of those, and I still haven't got it. That's that is real hot in New Hampshire for trolling. I mean, it's the fly in New Hampshire, if I recall. Why don't you give us a call sometime, Scott, and tell me more about this fantastic fly you have. At least send one to me so I can look it over. With a note about it and so on and so forth. Appreciate that. I know you're listening, so howdy. Okay. Now, would you say something, Norman?
We're down to less than 2 minutes. We've got less than 2 minutes.
Less than 2 minutes. We have less than 2 minutes. What, you got something special you want to say in 2 minutes?
Well.
The mic is yours.
Get
now.
Out and go fishing. Take
get
your,
out and go
take
fishing.
Take your kids and grandkids.
Right.
You know,
take
get,
your grandkids.
Get them hooked.
Oh, yeah. Take your kids.
Yeah.
You have a boat?
Oh, yeah.
You got a canoe?
Keep it right at Bob's door. I got six canoes.
Well, that's a place to have it, isn't it? Big-sized boat?
Oh, yeah.
A motor?
Oh, yeah.
How big is a motor?
Nice polar craft with a 60 horse on it.
Oh, that'll get you around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice deep V boat with downriggers and the whole nine. And fish is good.
When the fishing is good.
Oh, fishing's always good.
Yeah, well, it is if you know where to go.
Yeah.
There's a lot to knowing where to go. You know the biggest thing about trolling? I think. The biggest thing about trolling, work your fly.
Yep.
Don't you think?
Well, I get yelled at for that.
A lot of people don't work their fly. They just throw it out there and they sit back, you know, put their feet up on the gunwale and have a ball in for a cigar. And then they come in and say, have any bites? Oh, I didn't do anything all day. I don't know. But if they work the fly, and of course it makes a big difference of where they go too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
On the lake, you know. Inlets are pretty good, especially if the smelts are running, and stay off the smelts out from the inlet, just maybe 100 yards or something like that, and back and forth and so forth, and know where they are. Check a map, you know where the inlets are, and that's, you know, that the smelts are running in there. But you said something about, well, I know we've got time to talk about it, but you said something about when the water was low a couple of years ago, they had a problem with smelts.
Oh, a branch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be something. Yeah. Why these toga, a gaunt, you might say. Well, we've got to go right here. But been a pleasure, Norman. Been a pleasure, Adam Morse.
Yep.
To have you on the show. We learned a lot, I'm sure. Everybody out there. And this is Bob Lehman, your host tonight. And be back in order, 2 or 3 weeks. And we'll be back on the air next week with the Main Outdoor Show.